The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
On this week's broadcast, what countries are in the U.S. military's crosshairs, and is the pursuit of mineral resources the reason? A just-released science study confirms what geoengineeringwatch.org and a few select other independent sources have stated for years. The web of life is collapsing due to militarized and industrialized society. Where does the ongoing weather warfare fit into the equation? Does the planet and the entire web of life, what's left of it, exist solely to be completely exploited by the human race for its own selfish and destructive purposes? Why do so many in the human race believe such an incredibly blind and omnicidal notion? This is, of course, especially true of first world nation populations. To be crystal clear on just how suicidal such a mentality is, our war against nature is a war against ourselves. When nature dies, we will die. This process, this destination, is not somewhere off in the horizon. It's unfolding by the day, now. And if the course of the human race is not completely and immediately altered, mathematically speaking, we have no chance, none. The era of man, known as the Anthropocene, is almost at an end. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for October 21st, 2017. This weekly Global Alert News Hour is commercial-free, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. And again, this is the unpleasant truths that are essential to know if we're to have any chance of avoiding near-term extinction. And for the record, that's not an opinion, but a mathematical certainty. This program is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Other stations are also picking up this broadcast. We're doing our best to help that to happen. It's easy for them. We don't require anything, no payment, no monetization. Our only goal is to get the word out. So help us to get this program aired on other stations around the country. Orchard Nutrition, weekly announcement as always. If you're in the Redding area, Shasta County, there's free materials at Orchard Nutrition on the 9/11 reality, how the official narrative is proven completely false by 3,000 architects and engineers, top experts in their field from around the world. The lethal vaccination dangers, obvious vaccination dangers, and you don't need to be a physician to figure this out, do you? Injecting neurotoxins into your body or your children's body must be harmful. It is harmful. Aluminum, mercury, and other known elements in vaccinations are neurotoxins. How can that possibly be good for you? Find out what you didn't know. And find out why your physicians are being paid so much to make sure they don't care about this issue. That's exactly what's happening. Also, the climate engineering issue, which will determine our fate collectively. If other elements don't first, it will determine our fate if it's not exposed and halted. Get free materials at Orchard if you promise to share them. Jim Fair, staunch ally, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Look it up online. Their event traveling around the Western U.S. The next event in Eugene, Oregon. Jim Fair is a staunch ally of the fight to expose and stop climate engineering. Full geoengineering watch informational booth at their events with free materials. Next event, Eugene, Oregon, November 3rd through November 5th, Lane County Events Center. After that event, the following weekend of November 10th will be Puyallup, Washington. Hope I didn't mispronounce that. That's November 10th through November 12th. Again, go to the Jim Fair website, find out where you can visit the geoengineeringwatch.org booth and get free materials on an existential threat, climate engineering. Find out what you're not being told by any official source or any mainstream media source. And why is mainstream media already scaling back real coverage of the unprecedented California firestorms? And what happened to the Las Vegas coverage of the massacre in Las Vegas? Did the mainstream media power structure mouthpieces back off any coverage of the Las Vegas tragedy because the official narrative of the event began to fall apart? And now all we hear about is the Harvey Weinstein sex scandal story of mass distraction. What happened to Hurricane Harvey victims, Hurricane Irma, and the impact to Cuba and Florida, Puerto Rico? Why aren't we hearing about this anymore? And we're hearing about the Weinstein sex scandal. This is how twisted our media, our society has become. And the population should be in outrage. They're not. Here's a friendly reminder on something that occurs often. A number of anti-geoengineering activists have mistakenly posted the website geoengineering.org instead of geoengineeringwatch.org. Here's why it matters so much to include the watch word with geoengineering. Because the website geoengineering.org, without the watch part, is a pro-geoengineering website that's part of the power structure. Just a footnote of importance, the details do matter. Just like in addressing the climate engineering issue, semantics matter. The chemtrails term, highly harmful to the credibility of our cause. Why? Because anyone who is trying to investigate the issue, Google searches that term and comes straight to conspiracy, theory, and hoax. End of investigation. Just lost that person. Give them the science terms, climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management, and they'll find credible data. That's what we want. Let's go over some biosphere assault headlines, and I'll end this broadcast with a newly released and extremely shocking report that makes crystal clear just how dire and immediate our common plight is. The biosphere and the web of life are collapsing. New science report. First, these headlines to consider. The EPA will reverse a critical clean energy policy so polluters can burn more coal. As biosphere implosion accelerates, so does the insanity. The Trump administration, again, Trump is only a puppet in the play, like Obama, like Clinton, like the Bushes, like the rest. Puppets in the play. But the Trump administration announced today that it will take steps to repeal a federal policy that would have pushed states to abandon coal and switch to renewable energy. The move was long expected and is likely to be fought in the courts by environmental groups. Environmental groups that refuse to recognize climate engineering, by the way, which is quite a hypocrisy. And the attorneys general from several states. Once the administration finalizes the repeal, the legal fight is likely to begin. The New York Attorney General, Eric T. Schneiderman, vowed today that he and a coalition of states will sue the Trump administration over the repeal. Fuel-burning power plants are one of the nation's largest sources of climate change pollution, and common sense, science, and the law dictate that EPA take action to cut these emissions. The Trump administration's persistent and indefensible denial of climate change and their continued assault on actions essential to stemming it is increasing the devastation. It's reprehensible, and I will use, this is Schneiderman, every available legal tool to fight this dangerous agenda. Yes, the Trump administration, who denies climate change, but yet fully supports climate engineering to mitigate climate change. Put those dots together. See how it fits. Another headline. Trump's NOAA nominee, NOAA National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Trump's NOAA nominee wanted to limit the government's free weather service. Barry Myers, Trump's pick to oversee the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, once tried to limit the National Weather Service's scope. It's all about capitalism, right, Mr. Myers? This is just like Trump appointing the former CEO of the world's largest and most destructive fossil fuel corporation, Rex Tillerson, to be the Secretary of State. Stack the deck with ruthless capitalists that don't give a damn about whether or not the planet supports life. Continuing from this report, Barry Myers, the CEO of AccuWeather, supported a bill in 2005 that would have barred the agency from competing with private providers. In other words, no free government weather data. You have to pay for it if Mr. Myers would have had his way. But Myers' concern was that his company would be damaged by the National Weather Service's free information, which was providing Americans with cell phone alerts and hourly forecasts in a way that Myers worried would effectively compete with his own business. Mr. Myers, who has no weather science credentials whatsoever, just like Mr. Tillerson was not qualified for the job he was given. It's all about capitalism. Completely unleashed while the planet is imploding around us, to grind up nature for profit. And that's the only way industrialized, militarized civilization can survive, and that's why it's not going to survive. Can't perpetually expand grinding up nature for profit on a finite planet with finite resources. More headlines. The White House sees only dollar signs in the Arctic. From this report, Alaska is, quote, open for business. With these words delivered before an appreciative audience of oil producers in Anchorage, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke reaffirmed the Trump administration's determination to open Alaska's fragile environment to commercial exploitation. Just consider this. There's more headlines to come along these lines. But even as the biosphere implosion is accelerating exponentially, the raping, looting, plundering, and pillaging of our once thriving planet is being pushed into overdrive. Continuing, another headline. Global pollution kills 9 million a year and threatens survival of human societies. And this report doesn't even take into account the elephant in the room of climate engineering that's dumping tens of millions of tons of the most harmful particulates in the atmosphere, nanoparticulates of highly toxic metals. This report doesn't even consider that. But from this report, a landmark study finds toxic air, water, and soils in workplaces kill at least 9 million people and cost trillions of dollars every year. Industry doesn't have to pay for that, do they? We end up paying for it on the healthcare situation, which is another issue of controversy, another story I'm not going to cover here. Pollution kills at least 9 million people a year. That's a very, very, very conservative number. All these reports are conservative. Again, they don't take into account the smaller particles from any source. They only measure for PM10, 10 microns, 2.5 microns. They don't consider nanoparticulates, the most harmful and now most abundant in our atmosphere, not even considered. So the death of 9 million people costs trillions of dollars a year, according to the most comprehensive global analysis done to date, which warns the crisis, listen to this, threatens the continuing survival of human societies. Industrialized, militarized society is done. It's in its death throes now. Those who don't believe it will soon. And if we have any chance of long-term survival, the human race must completely change direction. Continuing with headlines and the juggernaut of insanity that is the military-industrial complex. Here's the headline. U.S. Navy killing thousands of whales and dolphins with sonar and weapons testing. Now let's transition from this headline to another headline from last week. Navy rules out sonar use as a cause of mass whale stranding in Kauai. From that report, what caused a mass stranding of pilot whales in Kauai is still under investigation. State lawmakers are now planning to hold a hearing. But the U.S. Navy has made clear that it knows that it couldn't be responsible. The Navy would never do that, would they? We know that the Navy's environmental impact report stated that they would kill millions of marine animals, that they knew they would kill millions with their testing. This is on the record. And we know that the Navy routinely has used depleted uranium ammunitions for testing off the North American West Coast. I spoke to the Navy's PR person myself, who seemed bewildered why I was so alarmed that they were using depleted uranium ammunition for practice, for testing, with a half-life of 4.5 billion years of radioactivity for testing. They don't care at all about the consequences. When I hear people say the proverbial they would never do this to themselves, they are doing it to themselves and to us and every other living thing on this planet. They are. And why are they doing it? Because we're allowing them to do it. Because we're turning two blind eyes as a species, as a society, especially in first world nations, we're turning two blind eyes to the insanity that has already pushed our once thriving planet over the edge. Now the only question is, will anything survive? Anything. The near term. And that depends on what we do or don't do. More headlines. Never before, this is the headline, never before have so many whales died on Brazilian beaches. 103 this year alone, in strandings across the country. The oceans are dying. If the oceans die, we die. And it's not just beginning. It's extremely advanced already. Oceans are turning into what's known as Canfield Ocean, a lifeless, oxygenless, stratified, superheated, dead, polluted body of water. That's where our oceans are headed at blinding speed. Another headline. Unusually high numbers of whales and dolphins strandings off Cape Cod in 2017. But again, the U.S. military and other official sources say it's all fine. Nothing to worry about. They don't know what's wrong. Just go back to sleep. And too much of the population is all too happy to do that. continue with what our so-called government is doing about all this. EPA plans to allow unlimited dumping of fracking wastewater in the Gulf of Mexico. Environmentalists are warning the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has a draft plan to continue allowing oil and gas companies to dump unlimited amounts of fracking and chemicals and wastewater directly into the Gulf of Mexico, which is a violation of federal law. Where's the outrage? How many people are just going about their lives right now, watching football games, getting the new channels where you can watch 5 or 6 games at once, and completely ignoring the fact that the walls are caving in around us? And I know this is very dire news. That's what I report, because others won't. And people feel helpless, but they shouldn't feel helpless. None of us are helpless to affect the greater good. None of us. And for every single person that each of us has any part in waking up and expanding someone's field of vision, opening their eyes, that matters in and of itself. And the power, the potential power of the awakened masses, of an awakened collective consciousness, should never be underestimated. Never. And we can all play a part in that. We all must play a part in that. Or the era of man will soon be over, and perhaps even the web of life on this planet, at least in any time frame that matters. More headlines. In Madagascar, bubonic plague outbreak now threatens largest cities. We don't hear much about that, do we? Because we're hearing about the Weinstein sex scandal, or the fact that Russia exposed the crimes of Hillary Clinton. And more on that in a moment. We talk about intervening in other countries. The indisputed king of that is the United States empire, not just by exposing some crimes of political officials in other countries, as Russia's accused of doing, exposing Hillary Clinton, who deserves to be exposed, but by killing their leaders, cutting off their resources, and completely devastating their countries. That's what our country does in other countries. I'll get to that in a few moments. First, the plague in Madagascar, which we're not being told about. As plague causes cases, rose last week in Madagascar's capital, many city dwellers panicked. They waited in long lines for antibiotics at pharmacies and reached through bus windows to buy masks from street vendors. Schools have been canceled and public gatherings are banned. We don't hear anything about that here, do we? Nothing. Just completely meaningless, dramatized stories on mainstream media whose job it is to distract us from what's happening, what's closing in on us all. In regard to weather warfare, a massive part of the wider horizon picture, the second named storm, Brian, expected to smash into Ireland and parts of the UK just a week after Hurricane Ophelia. From that report, Storm Ophelia slammed into Ireland last Monday, leaving hundreds of thousands of households without power, leading to the closure of entire public transport systems and numerous businesses. At least 3 people were killed by falling trees when the storm made landfall with gusts of up to 160 kilometers an hour, battering the country's west coast. The military was on standby to assist emergency services after the government declared a national emergency. More than 300,000 customers were without power in the worst storm in the Irish have dealt with ever, end quote. Let's ask this. Are Ireland's tax and debt issues with the global powers a factor in the weather warfare being waged against them? And that's what it is, weather warfare. Are there similarities with Puerto Rico? Because Puerto Rico was not in good favor with the U.S. government. And there's minerals there, too. I'll get to more on that in a moment. Mineral resources, which our government craves to keep the military-industrial juggernaut of insanity moving forward like a cancer, expanding and consuming everything in its path. Other militaries from other governments also corrupt, as I state over and over. Nobody's clean in this equation. But by far, the most destructive military force on the planet right now is the U.S. military, being used as mercenaries for the global power structure, the Western power structure. So back to what happened to Ireland and Puerto Rico, you decide. But know this when you're considering. Cyclones are being steered with patented and well-documented climate engineering technologies. It's not a matter of theory. It's a matter of fact. Here's a question that must be considered. It has a shocking answer to this question, but let's ask the question first. Where do the roads of disaster capitalism lead? Listen to this headline carefully.
This was extremely shocking, and I investigated it thoroughly myself to make sure it was true and real, and it is. Texas City, this is after Hurricane Harvey again, Texas City refuses to give people hurricane aid unless they pledge not to boycott Israel. What does that have to do with giving aid to people who desperately need aid? How did Israel get put into this equation? Listen to this. This is right from the report. American Civil Liberties Union says application forms for flooding relief grants, reminiscent of the McCarthy-era loyalty oaths, were issued in Texas. The form includes a clause headlined, "Verification not to boycott Israel." It states, quote, "By executing this agreement below, the applicant verifies, in order to get aid, that the applicant, one, does not boycott Israel, and two, will not boycott Israel during the term of this agreement." What is this all about? When I've stated over and over, the U.S. and Israel are one in the same, absolutely one in the same. And the tyranny between these two nations is profound. In fact, many countries and populations around the world consider the United States and Israel the greatest threat to humanity. And indeed, many ways they are. Remember the massive meltdown in Fukushima because emergency systems did not work? Why didn't they work? Because the U.S. and Israel created the Stuxnet virus in order to disable Iranian nuclear processes that are still allegedly only for nuclear power, but they disabled that with the Stuxnet virus that got loose and disabled the safety measures at Fukushima, causing a triple meltdown, which may kill us all. Fukushima is getting worse by the day, and it came from the United States and Israel. And here we see the aid victims in Texas for Hurricane Harvey and the rest of the aid victims apparently in other locations. And I looked this up in order to completely confirm its authenticity. On the website for Dickinson, Texas, if you look up flood relief, flood insurance, and look at the forms, you'll see this. That in order to get flood relief, you have to give an oath not to boycott Israel. If that's not alarming, it sure should be. Let's move on. A story I'll cover in next week's broadcast. Who supplied ISIS its weapons? Something we should all be concerned about. More on that next week. But along the current theme, Tillerson slams Iran as the destabilizing force, primary destabilizing force in the Middle East. Tillerson slams Iran as a destabilizing force in the Middle East in the firmest rebuke of Iran yet, accusing the country of working to destabilize the Middle East. Tillerson's remarks come as the Trump administration reviews U.S. policy toward Iran. Now, I'll consider everything I'm going to cover because it all fits together. Bear with me on this. And let's ask ourselves this, really, Mr. Tillerson and Mr. Trump. Iran, you state, is a destabilizing force in the Middle East. So I'll state, for the record, as I have in previous broadcasts, Iran has not invaded any other country for 230 years. In the last 100 years, the U.S. empire has invaded, destabilized, and or otherwise occupied nearly 100 nations. And for those that refuse to believe this, because these facts conflict with power structure programmed ideology. If you care about morality and have any sense of justice, you will do your own investigation. I've never, ever asked anyone to believe me, ever. I do ask you to do honest investigation, which you have a moral obligation to do. Everyone does. Everything is at stake. Now, more headlines that fit into this theme, U.S. invasion, occupation, militarization in the quest for resources. Trump's new strategy in Afghanistan, drop more bombs. Covered that. I covered in last week's broadcast. Remember the $1 trillion of Afghan mineral deposits that Trump was just briefed on by Michael Silver of the American Elements Corporation. They're salivating over those minerals. It's been on the radar for a very long time. It's not like Mr. Trump just learned of it. It's just been publicized. So we have the quest for resources in Afghanistan, always a part of the equation, going all the way back to 9/11, which was the tool that was used to galvanize the American population to support the U.S. empire's militarization, destabilization, occupation of other countries in pursuit of resources. Why might the power structure, with Mr. Trump again as their current puppet in the White House, be so desperate to topple North Korea? Let's consider this recent headline. Here's the headline. North Korea is sitting on $6 trillion in mineral resources. It's from the New York Post. North Korea has mineral resources estimated to be worth at least $6 trillion. And the secretive state is sitting on a vast array of other resources. Any connection there, Mr. Trump, or the power industrial complex, military industrial complex? Always, always agendas being carried out. How about other countries that are in the crosshairs of the U.S. military industrial complex empire? Let's consider this headline. President of the Philippines tells the CIA, kill me or get out of my country. Why is the CIA so embedded in the Philippines? While I'm reading this report of why the CIA is trying to kill the Philippines president, consider this headline. With untapped mineral wealth worth nearly $1 billion, the Philippines is, quote, one of the world's most highly mineralized countries. More minerals. Any connection? You decide. Back to the report. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte has accused the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency of plotting his assassination, and not for the first time. Whether his allegations hold weight or not, the spying organization, the CIA, has unquestionably played a role in the slaying of numerous troublesome world leaders. So let's consider all the mainstream media propaganda in the U.S. that Russia intervened in our quote-unquote democracy by exposing the crimes of Hillary Clinton. And we're killing their leaders. We're killing the leaders of other countries and destroying their countries, bombing them, cutting off resources, stealing their resources. Where does the hypocrisy end? It's immense. It's unbelievable. Continuing from the report, Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte said on October 12th, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, should be blamed in the event of his untimely death. He said this, as for me, I'll be telling the Filipinos if I die, it's America that's behind it. It's the CIA. One day I will just drive you away. Either your cahoots here will have to kill me, or you have to get out of my country. Choose, the president said. Again, it's not the first time Duterte has trained his oratorical crosshairs on the CIA. In September 2016, he claimed he'd received reports the agency wanted him dead. No surprise. Moreover, in August, the Philippines National Democratic Front, investigating, said the CIA had been plotting to overthrow the president for veering towards Russia and China in world affairs. This is where the term American interests comes into play. And the U.S. citizens don't really think about this. What's that mean, American interests? It means whatever resources the military-industrial complex needs to continue expanding its cancer. That's what it means. So anyone who doesn't toe the line for that, anyone who wants to, perhaps it's because it's better for their country's interest to align with any other country, that's not allowed. That's not allowed by the American empire. That country will be taken out. Ask Gaddafi or other leaders that have been taken down, or those that are trying to be taken down right now, like Assad in Syria, who did not allow the U.S. Western industrial military empire complex to put a pipeline across his country. Been at war ever since. That's how it works. Continuing from the report from the Philippines, it isn't debatable that the Philippines has long had a strong CIA presence within its borders, almost as long as the agency has existed, and U.S. military bases continue to dot the country despite ever-worsening relations between Manila and Washington under Duterte's rule. Let's remember Hurricane Haiyan, 2014. As soon as Duterte took power, the Philippines, and Duterte indicated resistance to U.S. policy, the Philippines was slaughtered by the most powerful hurricane landfall ever, Hurricane Haiyan. Another coincidence, like all the rest I've already named in this program? I think not. It's called weather warfare. Moreover, U.S. involvement, often via the proxy of the CIA, in the assassination of world leaders since World War II is extensive and well documented. In 1984, a CIA manual for training Nicaraguan Contras in psychological operations and unconventional warfare, titled Psychological Operations in Guerrilla Warfare, became public. The manual recommended, quote, selective use of violence to neutralize government officials. What does that mean? A U.S. manual put out by the U.S. military to train terrorists in other countries, in this case, Central America, stating in the manual to kill government officials. And we're pointing the finger at other countries? How absurd is that? We're living in an insane asylum, and Americans need to wake up. It's the last potential counterbalancing force in the world, the American population. They better wake up or nothing else will matter soon. It's up to all of us. Final statements from this report. Perhaps most notoriously, Cuban leader Fidel Castro was frequently a target, no secret there, of failed assassinations, perhaps as many as 638 times. Fabian Escalante, retired chief of Cuban counterintelligence, estimated the number of assassination schemes or actual attempts by the CIA among administrations to be 38 under Eisenhower. This is against Castro to try to kill him. 42 under John F. Kennedy, 72 under Lyndon Johnson, 184 under Richard Nixon, 64 under Jimmy Carter, 197 under Ronald Reagan, 16 under George H.W. Bush, and 21 under Bill Clinton. How many times do they try to kill that leader? And I'm not a fan of Castro at all. But do we have the right to kill leaders of other countries? And we're pointing the finger at other countries for simply exposing the crimes of our leaders, like Clinton? Americans need to wake up, do some real research. Continuing, please investigate everything I say. There have been frequent allegations of CIA direction, involvement, and funding in many other assassinations. The Church Committee concluded the CIA widely employed the so-called tactic of, quote, plausible deniability during decision-making related to assassinations and other covert actions. Under this policy, subordinates would deliberately shield higher-ranking officials from any responsibility by withholding full information about planned assassinations, and CIA employees would obtain tacit approval for murderous acts via euphemisms and sly wording in communications. There you have it. And what did NPR, the National Public Radio Service propaganda source, what did they report about President Duterte's recent statements? A complete disinformation story titled, Why Philippine President Rodrigo Distrusts the U.S. I wonder why he distrusts the U.S. And in that NPR story, and NPR is nothing but a power structure source of disinformation, not a word about anything that I just disclosed to this report, not a word. Complete disinformation. A quick update. Remember the along these same themes. Remember the U.S. soldiers that were just killed in Africa. Remember the fact that the U.S. military is occupying much of Africa with AFRICOM. That's the name of the U.S. military overall occupation there, the central governing force. Consider this headline. U.S. could fuel war in Africa by dropping conflict minerals rule. We're back to the minerals, aren't we? Again, now the U.S. doesn't care who died to supply illegal minerals. Doesn't care anymore. Anybody ever see Blood Diamond? Good movie. Based on real circumstances, if you will. And now the U.S. is dropping that rule and could fuel war in Africa. Not that the military-industrial complex cares. Was this story covered recently by mainstream media? No. Moving on. Trump has killed more civilians with illegal drone strikes in 9 months than Obama did in 8 years. No fan of Obama. I'm not a fan of Obama or Clinton or Bush or the rest. Or Trump. They're all just power structure puppets. But those are actual statistics. Does our population care about the civilians killed in other countries? Are they less important than we are? Continuing from this report, while the mainstream media focuses on anything but the current state of U.S. intervention in the Middle East, the Trump administration is breaking records by accumulating horrific number of civilian deaths. Remember what Trump and Tillerson just said about Iran? Pointing the finger at Iran, who's not doing this in anybody else's country. This is what we're doing. Trump, Tillerson, and a whole bunch of other people, including many of the U.S. citizens, should take a good long look in the mirror. Continuing from this report, former President Obama earned the nickname of Drone King when he dramatically escalated the use of drone strikes while also downplaying the number of innocent civilians who became collateral damage. Another massive source of hypocrisy. President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize? How insane and absurd is that? Estimations of civilian death tolls range from 2,300 to 3,400, according to Air Wars, an organization tracking deaths in the war against ISIS. President Trump has been in office for just 9 months, and he has already surpassed Obama's murderous record with an estimated civilian death toll as high as 4,500 civilians. Trump made headlines in December 2015 when he declared that if elected, he would not only kill members of ISIS, he would also take out their families. Direct quote from Mr. Trump. He's following through on that promise. Obama surpassed Bush's record, and now Trump is surpassing Obama's record. But the only thing that's actually been accomplished is that thousands of innocent civilians have lost their lives. Hundreds of thousands of civilians have lost their homes, their communities, and the civilians who do survive in the countries in the United States that the United States is targeting now will grow up justifiably hating America for destroying their home in the name of, quote, freedom and democracy. On that note, here's a headline. Somalia bombing may have been revenge for botched U.S.-led operation. We are triggering terrorism, spawning it, fueling it by what we're doing all over the world. We're not suppressing terrorism. We're feeding it. From that report, officials investigating the attack that killed more than 300 people. Did our media even really cover this much at all? 300 people died. But that doesn't really matter because there are other people in other countries. It doesn't matter, at least for our media. It should matter, but it doesn't. Investigations indicate that the bombers may have been motivated by a desire for revenge for a raid in August. The man who killed more than 300 people with a truck bomb in the center of Mogadishu on Saturday was a former U.S. soldier in Somalia's army whose hometown was raided by local troops and U.S. special forces 2 months ago in an operation which killed 10 civilians. Killing innocents abroad in search of resources, and people wonder why America is so hated. That's why. They don't hate us for our freedom and democracy, because we don't have any of that. They hate us because what we're doing to them. What would we do if they were here doing the same? If they killed a single civilian in the U.S. mainland, what would we do? Turn their whole country into a crater? We're decimating their whole population. And Americans seem oblivious to this. And that kind of hypocrisy must go. And in fact, Americans being gassed by their own government with the climate engineering operations, and we still do nothing. When will that change? And each of us has the power to help change it. I'll get to that at the end of this broadcast. I want to continue. I'm running out of time. And people who state this, isn't our government just trying to protect us? And if that's what you believe, you're living in an alternative, delusional reality. Couldn't be further from the truth. Another headline, media silent as government uses Vegas shooting to push bill allowing warrantless searches, to back up what I just stated. Our government is not here to help. Anything but. The media blackout is blatantly evident as the government prepares to pass another all-American titled bill that strips away liberty with no accountability. The walls are closing in. The noose is being pulled around our neck. Those in power don't care any more for the U.S. population than they do populations around the world. And our population would do well to realize that now while it still matters. Another headline from down under. The police state in New Zealand, Operation Southern Katipo, is back. This is New Zealand doing the same thing, clamping down on their society in what amounts to martial law. And this is from that report. Why are martial law military exercises being held in local communities? From New Zealand. Martial law exercises. It's coming, and they're preparing. And New Zealand is just as tyrannical as our government. So is Australia. The Western powers are simply trying to maneuver for total lockdown on their societies. It's coming. And here's a reminder of what's already occurred in the U.S. The 2010 census, GPS located the front door of every single U.S. citizen. Why? As I've stated in previous broadcasts, the Census Bureau employees hiked almost a mile past a locked gate into the forest to GPS my doorstep, not once, but twice. I contacted the Census Bureau multiple times in the attempt to get any credible answer to as to why they were GPSing everyone's home. No answer was ever given. And let's consider and remember this as well. These two final points. The drone bases that are being set up in the U.S., GPS locations of everybody's front door might be very handy for them. And the fact that Homeland Security has purchased in the last 5 years, in 2012 this purchase occurred, almost 2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point ammunition. Why? enough for about 7 rounds for every individual in this country. Why? Ask yourself. Don't believe me? Please investigate it. If you think the criminal cabal masquerading as our government is here to protect you, as I stated earlier, you need to think again. Not only are populations completely expendable to the power structure, we're considered a rapidly increasing liability to them as the biosphere collapse accelerates at blinding speed. And on that note, the following headline, which I spoke about at the beginning of this broadcast, this study should be a stark and shocking wake-up call for any that are even slightly awake. For years, I've warned that the insect populations were crashing. Our conclusions at geoengineeringwatch.org on this fact came from hard research data supplied by former state and federal scientists that we work with that supplied this information to us. Now, mainstream sources are finally admitting to the insect crash reality. Why? Because the reality can no longer be hidden. Here's the headline. Warning of ecological Armageddon after dramatic plunge in insect numbers. From this report, and this needs to be listened to, because if the insects die, we will follow close behind. And this is happening now. 3/4 of flying insects in nature reserves across Germany have vanished in 25 years, with serious implications for all life on Earth, scientists say. The abundance of flying insects has plunged by 3/4 over the past 25 years. And 25 years ago, already a diminished population, so even 3/4 of that now gone, according to a new study that has shocked the scientific world. We knew. Why didn't they know? They knew. They just simply didn't disclose it till now. Continuing, insects are an integral part of life on Earth as both pollinators and prey for other wildlife. As it was known that some species, such as butterflies, were declining rapidly, but the newly revealed scale of the losses to all insects has prompted warnings that the world is, quote, on course for ecological Armageddon with profound impacts on human society. The new data was gathered in a nature reserves across Germany, but has implications for all landscapes dominated by agriculture, the researchers said. The cause of the huge decline is as yet unclear. Really? It's unclear? Search bees aluminum. I challenge anybody, search bees aluminum. You'll find peer-reviewed science study to prove the bees are dying from massive aluminum exposure, as are we dying slowly. And where's that aluminum coming from? Look up. It's coming from climate engineering programs, the elephant in the room that academia, the entire circle of academia, has not chosen to acknowledge, and thus has betrayed the whole human race and the entire web of life. Continuing from this report, although, again, scientists say they're unclear as to why the die-off is, the destruction of wild areas and widespread use of pesticides are the most likely factors. Again, completely ignoring the climate engineering elephant in the room. They state that climate change may play a role. Certainly, so does climate engineering. The scientists were able to rule out weather and changes to landscape in the reserves themselves as causes, but data on pesticide levels has not been collected. You can't find what you're not looking for, can you? And certainly they're not going to test for aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, all the elements we know associated with climate engineering. They're not going to look for that, so they certainly won't find that. The fact that the number of flying insects is decreasing at such a high and alarming rate in such a large area is extraordinarily disturbing discovery, said Hans de Kroon at Radboud University in the Netherlands, and who led the new research. Quote, insects make up about 2/3 of all life on Earth, but there's been some kind of horrific decline, said Professor Dave Gulson of Sussex University in UK, and part of the team behind the new study. We appear to be making vast tracts of land inhospitable to most forms of life and are currently on course for ecological Armageddon. If we lose the insects, then everything is going to collapse. The research published in the journal PLOS ONE is based on the work of dozens of entomologists across Germany who began using strictly standardized ways of collecting insects in 1989. Special tents called malaise traps were used to capture more than 1,500 samples of all flying insects at 63 different nature reserves. When the total weight of the insects in each sample was measured, a startling decline was revealed. The annual average fell by nearly 80% over the 27-year period. But the fall was even higher in summer, 82%, when insect numbers reach their peak. Previous reports of insect decline have been limited to particular insects such as European grassland butterflies, which have fallen by over 50% in recent decades. But the new research captured all flying insects, including wasps and flies, which are rarely studied, making it a much stronger indicator of the rapid decline. The fact that the samples were taken in protected areas makes the findings even more worrying, said Casper Hallman at Radboud University, also part of the research team. All these areas are protected and most of them are well-managed nature reserves, yet this dramatic decline has still occurred, even in the protected areas. So how much lower, how much more severely has the insect population crashed in unprotected areas? It's even worse. As we've reported in Northern California, as I've reported again and again and again, 90% crash, 90% decline in aquatic and terrestrial insects as measured by former government scientists that we work with, 90%. And that's likely what we see in other areas as well. And this is a protected area. If the insects die, we die. That's a very simple equation. Final statements from this report. The entomologists also collected detailed weather measurements and recorded changes to the landscape and or plant species in the reserves, but this could not explain the loss of insects. The weather might explain many of the fluctuations within the seasons and between the years, but it doesn't explain the rapid downward trend. Of course, no acknowledgement of climate engineering, said Martin Sorg of the Carefield Entomological Society in Germany, who led the entomologists. Golson said a likely explanation could be that the flying insects perish when they leave the nature reserves. Farmland has very little to offer for any wild creature, he said. But exactly what is causing their death is an open debate. It could be simply that there is no food for them, or it could be more specifically exposure to chemical pesticides or a combination of the two. Or let's add, this is my addition, climate engineering that's blanketing the planet with toxic heavy metals and chemicals. Again, search bees aluminum. Online, you'll find peer-reviewed study to prove massive aluminum contamination is killing bees and, of course, every other insect. How could it not? Also, you can search aluminum found in whales, massive amounts of aluminum found in whales, another peer-reviewed study. It's permeating the entire web of life. Primary element in climate engineering patents, aluminum, primary stated goal of the most recognized geoengineers in the world like David Keith. The goal of putting 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually with no study whatsoever. And you can see Mr. Keith say this if you search Dane Wigington, David Keith, watch a 5-minute video, film footage of me confronting Mr. Keith, world's most recognized geoengineer, about him not saying this. If you haven't seen this film yet, many have. If you haven't, search it, look at it, and decide for yourself just how insane those quote-unquote scientists who are advising the military-industrial complex are. Look for yourself. Finishing from this report, the scientist said further work is urgently needed to corroborate the new findings in other regions and to explore the issue in more detail. In the meantime, said Dr. Kroon, head researcher, we need to do less of the things that we know have a negative impact, such as the use of pesticides and the disappearance of farmland borders full of flowers. And how about Mr. Kroon acknowledging the elephant in the room of climate engineering? Academia has completely and totally betrayed the human race and the web of life by their silence. And I don't care if there's a gag order on them or not at this point. The ship is going down by the day. So for any academician that denies the climate engineering reality, only two possibilities, only two. That they are criminally incompetent for the field in which they claim to be an expert, or they're lying. Take your choice. Only two possibilities. We'll get on to how to deal with these people in a moment. Final statements from this report. Another way of sampling insects, car windscreens or windshields, has often been anecdotally used to suggest a major decline in insect populations, with people remembering many more bugs squashed onto their windshields in the past. Quote, I think that this is real, said Goulson, again, primary researcher with this new study. I drove right across France and back this summer, and just when you'd expect your windscreen to be splattered all over, I literally never had to stop to clean the windscreen. How many times from how many people who have observantly noticed this? Windshields aren't covered with bugs anymore because there are very few bugs. And in Northern California, even with lights on in the warmest nights outside, outdoor lights across the whole front of my home, to see how many insects we could attract, almost nothing. Only an occasional insect would show up. How can anything survive? This is the bottom of the food chain. And the same is true with aquatic insect life. And if we look at, it's not just the toxic metals and chemicals that are floating down from climate engineering. And I realize farm chemicals, industrialized pollution, there's endless sources of damage to the biosphere and ecosystems. But in addition to in the more distant rural wilderness areas, away from industry and transportation, climate engineering is the primary causal source of these toxic elements. And we have the UV issue that's never mentioned by any of these studies. Also another no-go topic for them. UV is slaughtering plankton all over the globe. Plankton, the largest source of oxygen on the planet. Plankton, 60% decline in plankton populations. If the plankton die, we die. Oceans die, we die. Insects die, we die. Trees die, we die. All of it's happening. All of it's happening right now. On that note, though an ever-increasing percentage of the global populations are simply trying to survive from day to day, the majority of the masses in first world populations, like America, are still unfortunately content with arranging deck chairs on the Titanic, on which, again, we are all passengers. It's a perplexing and alarming scenario to witness so many so-called spiritual groups that are all turning two blind eyes to the atrocities that are surrounding us, and so-called spiritual groups that are turning two blind eyes to the unfolding biosphere collapse that's pushing the human race and the entire web of life toward total planetary omnicide. And so-called environmental groups are behaving in the same manner. Are such groups, whatever banner they fly, to be considered enlightened or simply clans of denialists that wish to reassure each other that everything is okay when it's anything but? I'm almost out of time for this broadcast, and consider the following points. First, that there is no true security in this seasonal occupation that we call life, except in the security of your own philosophy and faith. How can life have meaning with this fact in mind? Many people ask themselves that question because they've been trained to believe life is about your personal pursuit of pleasure, and that's not what life's about. And great, immense pleasure, in fact, the greatest I've ever known, is in helping fight for the greater good, whether it's to help others. I've been a member in Big Brother program. I coached in Special Olympics for a number of years. I worked in a homeless shelter as a volunteer for 3 years. I worked rehabbing Vietnam vets, and those are the most joyful times of my life because I wasn't focused on myself at all. That's where bliss lies. It's the only place it truly exists. If life's not about fighting for the greater good, for the future of our children, and indeed even the entire web of life, then what's it about? The end of this story is not yet written. How can you help to sound the alarm? Each and every one of us, locate credible information and articles. This can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Solid building block, credible data to help sound the alarm on the single greatest assault against the web of life ever launched by the human race, climate engineering. We can expose that, we can expose everything else, but we must expose that first or the planet won't support life much longer. Send credible data and a carefully crafted alert letter, which we also have available on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, to make it easy. Send this to every group, organization, elected official, and individual that you can. Inform these entities that geoengineering is not just a proposal, but a lethal reality. And again, pass on credible data to back up that message. We must be an effective and efficient and diligent force in this battle to share information. In the effort to sound the alarm, we must reach a critical mass of awareness in order to have any chance of stopping the climate engineering insanity and the rest of the challenges we face. I know there are many, but climate engineering is the single biggest hole in the bottom of the boat. Why are we here, if not to stand against the gathering darkness? The choice belongs to each of us, to be a part of the cure or of the disease. Make your voice heard for the greater good. Every day counts. This is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org.